Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
I know most of you grew up in an academic setting, which means you were supposed to sit there quietly and not participate, and the way that you communicated that you knew something was to raise your hand. So one of the things that I'm trying to do inside of our church that I was trying to do pre-pandemic was get you guys to be a little bit more participatory in the service. So I'm going to practice some things with you that during this teaching time, you can feel free to say. A key word you can feel free to say is amen. Amen means that that has been true, that is true, that is always true, and it is eternally true. And so when you hear the word of God, you can say amen. Just say amen.
Amen.
Another thing is if you feel that's a little too religious for you and you're feeling a little more modern, you could say that is true. So say that is true. That's true. You can say it different ways, like, whoa, that is true. So try some different inflection. So, whoa, that's true. Just let me hear what you guys say. Go ahead. That's true. Another one that you can say is, oh. 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 Practice that one. Oh. Okay. So as we're going through this, I'd love for you to practice a little bit more participating with the teaching. Why is that? Because what you participate in, you remember. What you engage in, you hold. And one of the things that I really want you to be able to hold is the truth of God. And if we can get the truth of God inside of our lives and we can hold it, it would change things. Amen?
Amen.
Look at us using the words we've already learned. All right, jumping into today. We're starting a new sermon series. We're doing new stories. Now, I know that it's been built up on shame and there's the negative aspect of what we're talking about. But what I want to share with you guys is the positive side, that you and I are telling ourselves stories and we repeat stories that we've heard and we say stories about ourselves that put us in a place that we feel shame. And what we want to do in this new sermon series is release you into your new story. We want to release you into the freedom that God has given you. Now, I'm not going to go through all the scriptures that teach you that, behold, you're a new creation, that the old is dead and the new is here. That's where you say what?
Amen.
If you didn't know that, you go, oh. So we can go through those processes. But what I want you to think about is I want you to understand that our goal isn't to keep telling the old story. Our goal isn't to beat you up. Our goal is to say that old story is dead.
Amen.
How about live in the new story? So about a year ago, a precious woman in our church named Jen Parcio, came to me and said, Pastor, I know a sermon that you need to preach, and you really need to preach this. And she didn't say it once. She didn't say it twice. She didn't say it three times. You guys know Jen Parcio, that if she finds something that she really wants to communicate, she makes sure that you know it. And so she kept coming to me like, no, our church really needs to hear this. And so I just pressed back into Jen, and I said, Jen, why does our church need to hear this? Can you tell me your story? What is this about? And Jen was precious. She opened up and she shared. So rather than me sharing her story really fast, I'm going to ask her to come up and her to share with you how this has impacted her and how this has put it together. So we're doing this together. I'm going to put my mask back on. I'm going to turn my mic off. And then I'm going to turn the mic on. And then Jen's going to be able to talk. So do me a favor. Welcome Miss Jen Parcio up.
Can you guys hear me? Good morning, everybody. So yes, I am Jen. For those of you guys, I think everybody here does know me, but maybe those in Facebook land don't necessarily know me. I'm on the leadership team here at Real Church, and I help with the children. I have my fans back there, my best friends. Pastor Nathan did invite me to come up just for a few minutes, so it's not a long time. And I just wanted to share my experience with this book. I am going to read a little bit because I just want to stay on task and on topic, but the words are there, and I did really pray over these. But I just wanted to share that this book, which Nathan will hold up, it's called The Soul of Shame. It really sparked a season of healing in my life. It had such an impact on my life by exposing this vicious cycle of shame that I was constantly floundering in. Reading the book was like scales falling from my eyes. I could see Satan's tactics so clearly. And praise God for that. Satan had used shame to paralyze, hurt me, and isolate me. For the sake of time today, I can't go into all those details, but I would love to talk to anybody about it who would like to talk to me. Just find me. I would love to share that with you. Please reach out. But basically, to summarize, the Holy Spirit just used this book to show the depths that shame was embedded in my story. I'm a Christ follower. I'm a wife. I'm a mom. I'm a daughter. I'm a sister. I'm a friend. I'm also chronically ill. I'm a terminal cancer patient. And those things have come into my story. Some of those have been uninvited. Some of them have been invited. But shame was just really embedded in all of those roles and all of just in my story, just completely embedded in there. And because of the freedom that I got when I realized I was being robbed of my joy and my worth, and I was being robbed of being able to live this story that God has ordained for me, I was so excited to have that clarity that I just really wanted to share it with my church. I felt like as I was praying through it, God really just showed me stuff in my own life, but just how these vicious cycles and patterns can happen in all of our lives. We all deal with shame at one point or another. Shame is not just that humiliation from, you know, maybe saying the wrong thing in the wrong time. Shame is that deep, deep feeling of just, you are not worth it. You cannot do what you need to do. My hope and prayer is that when you're dealing with shame, that this series will help lead you to God, His church, and experience freedom. All of those things need to be present just to kick shame out of your life. Shame is Satan's tool, pure and simple. And Satan is crafty with it, but he is not all-powerful. God is. Though Satan tries to tell us we are not enough and something is wrong with us, God defines our worth. Shame tells us we are powerless to change, but God wants you to know him and be, secure in his love. Shame tells us to hide, and it also turns around and shames us for hiding. But God simply says, come as you are. I'm still learning how to respond as shame creeps back into my life as I journey toward God, but praise God that I'm more in tune when shame tries to enter into my story. And my hope is that as a church, we can move towards God and his freedom with our own renewed stories. And I'm just really excited to see what God does with this series with us.
Not that I'm jealous, but I'd like to hear that too at the end when I'm teaching. The Soul of Shame. Just to let you guys know, I bought 10 copies of this, so every family can leave with a copy of the book. And so one of the things is we're not going to teach the whole book to you. That's not what we're going to do. But what we're going to offer to you is more depth into Christ and what Christ's redemption is, based on some of the themes that we've pulled out of this book. So, you know, one per family, we'd love for you guys to do that. Guys, in the church, man, you guys need to learn how to read. Don't get this for your wife. I know the women are going to grab this and be like, oh, man, I'm totally reading this. Men, step up. Amen. Learn how to read, okay? If you need me to read it to you, I'll do that. We can do like a men's book club and stuff like that, get you a juice box and a blanket. We'll do it. What I want to do is I want to encourage you that freedom is there for you. And there are things that are available to you. One of the things in this is the first two chapters, this is just me and I'm estimating, the first two chapters are about neuropsychology and the brain, and I was bored out of my mind. If you're deep into medical stuff and like psychology, man, you're going to love the first two chapters. Some of you guys, you're just going to need to jump to chapter 3 and move on and just trust that this psychologist who's a therapist and also is telling you the truth, and you can just move forward. But if you get bogged down in chapters 1 and 2, I just want to encourage you, keep going. It's worth it. Okay? So what is shame? What is shame? Shame is an emotional response to felt slight embarrassment or to extreme humiliation. In other words, your response to what's going on to around you is going to be what brings shame into your life. There can be a slight embarrassment that allows shame just to enter into your life, and there can be extreme humiliation that can happen in your life. What does that mean? Well, you can start walking down the street in Chicago, and you can trip and fall in front of a group of people. That is slight embarrassment, and shame will enter in. You will feel like, maybe I should know better. I should know how to walk. I should be able to lift my feet. And you'll be really upset and embarrassed in front of a group of people, and shame can enter in. Using the wrong word, being called a word, can enter shame to your life. Your zipper being down on your pants after you leave a restroom or having toilet paper stuck to the bottom of your shoe can give a feeling of shame. Getting a traffic ticket, getting pulled over, getting stopped, getting a bill that you forgot to pay and have it past due, it can create shame inside of your life. Making a mistake financially can create shame. Being broken up with, whether in a relationship or with a job, your employer decides to break up with you. That's called being fired. And so that can bring massive amounts of shame into our lives. Being called on publicly to stand up and speak or to give an answer in school can create shame because you may not feel comfortable in the answer or your brain goes blank because you're not good at being in front of people. Another thing that can bring shame is giving the wrong answer. Feeling of being stupid, or feeling like a fraud, feeling like you have imposter syndrome. And so shame can come in from many different areas in life. But the question we want to deal with today is, where did shame come from? So if you guys have your Bibles, jump to Genesis chapter 3, and we're going to look at verses 1 through 7. And the Genesis story is talking about God making Adam and Eve and God giving Adam and Eve rules. And God says to Adam and Eve, you can do all these things except these two. And what do Adam and Eve want to do? The things they're not supposed to do. Any parent in here want to say amen? Amen. That's true. Any kid go, oh. Okay. So what I want to share with you guys is, as we jump into the story, God has created Adam and Eve. Adam and Eve are in the garden and they're being who they're supposed to be, and enters in Satan. And Satan walks in to create problems. We jump in verse 1. It says, now the serpent was more crafty than any other beast of the field that the Lord God had made. Okay, I'm going to read it again. When I say serpent, I just want you to go boo. Okay, here we go. And the serpent was more crafty than any other beast of the field that God had made. And he said to the woman, did God actually say, you shall not eat of any tree in the garden? He brings doubt in. He walks in and he comes to her and he twists what God said. That's what Satan does to you constantly. We're going to get that later on in the points, but I want you to see it right here in the scripture. What Satan is going to do with you is he's going to ask you a question that's going to put doubt in your mind. You need to have the truth in your mind so that you can fight the doubt the enemy brings. It says, and the woman said to the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees in the garden, but God said, now when I say God, I want you to cheer. I want you to be like, yay! Okay, we'll start again. So you guys got serpent. What do we do with serpent? And when I say God, we say, yay! And the woman said to the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees in the garden, but God said, you shall not eat of the fruit of the tree that is in the midst of the garden, neither shall you touch it, lest you die. But the serpent said to the woman, you will not surely die. Can we all agree that the serpent lied? For God knows that when you eat of it, your eyes will be open and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food and that it was a delight to her eyes and that the tree was to be desired to make one wise, she took of its fruit and she ate. And she also gave some to her husband who was with her, and he ate. Then the eyes of both were opened, and they knew that they were naked. And they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves loincloths. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, would you please love on us? Lord, there are things that we have touched. There are things that we have done. There are things that we have believed. There are things that we have listened to that, God, we shouldn't have done. Help us, God, repent. Help us return back into relationship with you and help us be with you for all eternity. It's in your name we pray, God. Amen. So a couple things I want to deal with. Women's rights. A lot of people jump in this and they're upset about, you know, what women did and what men did. Let me point out real quick verse 6. It says that her husband was there with her the entire time and he ate. So let's just own this for a second. This is a group project and the group project failed. Okay? However you feel about the group project or whatever that is, that's totally fine. But let's just own that there's just failure with two people, and because they didn't do what they were supposed to do, we're in some problems that we have today. But three thoughts I want to bring to you as we look at that scripture. And the three thoughts are this. First thought, God straightens. God straightens. Satan twists. God straightens. So today, if you're twisted, today, if you're mangled, today, if you're bent, today, if you're just a cattywampus, whatever word you want to use, and you just feel like you're not straight, let me tell you who the one is that will make you straight. It's God Almighty. He makes you straight, okay? The second thing I want you guys to understand is that God heals. God heals. God makes things straight. God heals. The enemy weaponizes. This book came out inside of our church a year and a half ago, and it was weaponized. And I literally was like, that's not what the book said. What I want you guys to understand is that when we start talking about shame, we don't blame and we don't attack people and go, you're shaming me because now I'm moving to power and now I'm shaming you, which now means I'm making the shame cycle continue to go, which means we're really not fixing the problem. We're just making it bigger. That's not what this book teaches. This book teaches you need to look at you and your cycle and end it here. Amen. You're not ending it there. You're ending it here. Amen. And so the way that it's ended here is through God straightening you and God healing you. Satan wants to weaponize it. Have you been in a conversation with a loved one and the conversation just goes sideways? Mm-hmm. And you're wondering, I was trying to say something loving and here we are needing marriage counseling. What in the world happened? Okay. What I want you guys to understand is the enemy weaponizes. Notice when you start weaponizing language. Notice when you start putting more intensity on something than you should because you want to fight. You want to see them fail. That's not godly. That's demonic. So God straightens, God heals. The third one is God includes. I love that Jen got up here and she said, I isolated myself because I felt shame, and then shame shamed me because I was isolated. Anybody been there? Okay, now let me help you out. If you're super immature, and I'm sorry, I'm just being super honest, I'm diving into the deep end. If you're super immature, you have learned that you run away, and if people really love you, they come and follow you. That's called enabling. That is a bad possibility of what we need to do. What humans that are mature do is they watch you run away, and they watch you where you're at. And they allow you, because you're an adult, to return back into relationship and come back together. When you run away, you isolate yourself. And you're upset that people didn't come and rescue you. It's a whole nother problem in the cycle. We're not going there as a church. We've learned that. We've already practiced not to enable. Does that make sense? So we're not going back there. But God includes, the enemy isolates. So if you just have these three thoughts as we walk through this week, thought number one, God straightens. So when stuff goes messed up, who can straighten it out? God. Okay? If you have something that needs healing, who can do it? It's God. God can heal you. And you know what? All of us want to be in community, don't we? And we're all trying to figure out what does that community look like post-COVID, right? In COVID. Like, okay, how much community is okay? Like, and what we're going to do in vulnerability is to love each other in the process. We're not going to shame each other in the process. Nobody's going to have a stick hitting people yelling 6 feet. We're not doing that, okay? We're not going to use the weapons of the enemy, which is anger, which is division, which is slight, which is doubt, which is fear. We're not going to use those weapons. We're going to use love, joy, peace, and patience. We're going to use all the fruits of the Spirit. Amen? All right, so let me close this up. Children, you're doing phenomenal. David, you're doing even better. At the very end of teaching, normally I have the last slide that I put up. What is the word that's up there? Do you guys know what it is? Application. Not this now in this one. What we're going to do is, because we're talking about new stories, our application is going to be a new chapter. Anybody want a new chapter? Yep. Anybody feel like this chapter needs to close and we need to move on to the next one, right? So let me go to our application, which is called New Chapter. Here's our new chapter. This is the chapter I would like to encourage you guys to move forward into this next week. Vulnerability is the answer to shame. Amen. Okay? Vulnerability is the antidote to shame. So if you're feeling shame, the answer is something that makes no sense to you. If you're feeling vulnerability, you think lashing out in anger and violence and power and pride is the move. Mm-hmm. And all that does is make that enemy bigger. I mean, if you got a really terrible dog that doesn't have any good manners and bites all of your friends and you keep feeding it, guess what that dog's going to do? It's going to get bigger and it's going to keep biting all your friends. The way you get rid of a spiritual enemy and a spiritual dog that's in your life that's doing stuff is stop feeding it. It gets smaller. So what we're going to do as we walk through shame is we're going to move towards vulnerability. And I was thinking about vulnerability this week. One of the things that I do every 3 months for fun is I go to a specialist because I've had skin cancer twice, and I take all off all my clothes, and they have me put on this amazingly protective shield that makes me feel absolutely, completely comfortable. Anybody put one of these things on? These gowns? Do these make you feel comfortable? No, they're breezy in the back, right? Okay. But what I want you to know is when you're going into a doctor and you're going in to get help because you want to stop being twisted and you want to be straightened or you want to be healed or you want the answer, you're willing to be vulnerable, aren't you? You're willing to don the gown. Spiritually, we need to don the gown. We need to walk to God and be vulnerable. We need to be vulnerable with each other. And so let me share with you guys a little bit of story about me. One of the things about me that has happened to me my whole life is... for some people, when you get extremely nervous or scared, some people vomit, some people get migraines, some people get incapacitated, some people get angry. I get diarrhea. That's my move. That's my main move, and it's amazing. So years ago, I was in Boise, Idaho, and I was at my wife's parents' house, and I was going to ask this amazing, gentle, timid man, her dad, which is not who he is. He's like the Marlboro Man. Can I marry your daughter? I was so scared. I was so nervous. I was so just wrapped up. Do you guys know what I'm talking about? Like when you're just wrapped up in that, like when you're signing loan docs and you're thinking I'm giving my life away for 30 years. Like when you're wrapped up in that moment. And it went great. And he said, yeah. And then he goes, you know what? Why don't you help me move some supplies from the used store it place? So we went to the used store it place. And then have you guys seen the movie Dumb and Dumber? Where the stomach goes, brr, 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 brr. So I'm at a You Store It place in Boise, Idaho, and my stomach flips. Anybody been there? You guys know when the paint comes off the back wall and the sweat's on the back of your neck and on your forehead, and you're thinking, it's not hot. And so literally I'm looking at him and I'm like, I need you to get me to a restroom now. And what I want you guys to understand is when you feel incredibly vulnerable, your body knows it. And your body is going to respond. Start paying attention to how your body is responding. Let me help you out with another one. Spiritually, when the Spirit of the Lord shows up, your flesh doesn't like it, and your body wants to respond. It wants to keep you away from God. It wants to keep you from church. It wants to keep you from community. It wants to keep you from being straightened. It wants to keep you from being healed. And you've got to figure it out. In those times when you know you need to be straightened and you know to be healed and you know you're not feeling well, you know you need to go to the spiritual doctor and put on the gown. Amen? Amen. Get in the Word of God. Get in community. Be in worship. And allow God to love on you. So here's some ways that we can grow in vulnerability, okay? Because I think it's not fair for me just to say, hey, be vulnerable. Let me help you out. Here's 4 ways you can practice. Everybody write the word practice. Write it down. Someone say the word back to me, practice. Practice. What does practice mean? Practice means perfection. No. Practice does not mean perfection. Practice means you're not good at it. Just keep doing it, okay? So the way we're going to be vulnerable is by starting practice, all right? When you guys this week, some of you guys are going to start working out again. You're not out of shape. You're out of practice. Just practice working out more. Some of you guys spiritually, you're not out of shape spiritually. You're not backslidden. You're just out of practice. Get back into the practice. Let's make it calm. Let's not put this intensity on it. Okay? Here's 4 things you can do to practice. Number 1, practice empathy. Practice empathy. Man, this works in every area of your life. Practice empathy. Understand your feelings and share with openness and humility. Understand you. Practice empathy to yourself. A lot of you guys spend time practice empathy on everybody else. Give empathy to yourself. So practice empathy, okay? The next one, attunement. Practice attunement. What does attunement mean? Be aware of and respond to your own needs. Most of the time, people teach these four things about other people. They do work with other people, but you cannot help other people unless you are in a place of health. So we're going to start with real with self. So I want you to attune to you. Be aware of and respond to your own needs. Think about, why did I just get angry? Why did I just get sad? How come when I got upset and hurt, I went for ice cream? Why did I want to throw something? Like, start going through those things. Why do I want to isolate? Why do I want to be away from people? Why do I want to be alone? It doesn't mean that what you're doing is wrong. It just means you need to be aware of what you're doing and why you're doing it. Practice mindfulness. Be present and stay in the moment. Deal with now. A lot of things that we do is we run away from what we're doing because we don't want to deal with what it is, and we put it away and we say, I'll deal with it tomorrow, and we never do. What we're going to start doing is be mindful, be present, be in the moment, be there, and look at it and deal with it. The last one is practice boundaries. We're going to practice empathy. We're going to practice attunement. We're going to practice mindfulness. We're going to practice boundaries. Boundaries mean that we share and listen appropriately. We're going to share and listen appropriately. It's okay for you to have boundaries with your spouse and say, I don't have a lot of intellectual ability right now. What you're sharing is super important. Can we schedule a time tomorrow when we can talk about this? And I follow this. I will set aside energy to make sure I can honor what you're telling me to say. I'm going to do it. So what I want you guys to do is practice these things. Okay, you're not going to be perfect at it this week. In fact, this week, you're going to mess up a lot. And that's okay. I just want you to say, oops. I just want you to say, hey, I'm practicing. Maybe in conversations with your friends, you're going to say, hey, I'm practicing vulnerability. Hey, I'm practicing empathy. I'm practicing attunement. I'm practicing mindfulness. I'm practicing that B word that was at the very end. Like, you may not even remember what it is. I'm just practicing. And let's do it together. Amen?
Amen.
All right, here's my last thing I want you guys to do is practice the Lord's Supper. The Lord's Supper is the most amazing thing of vulnerability that allows us to live our next chapter. Anybody want to say amen?
Amen.
The Lord's Supper simply is this, is that God gave his body as a sacrifice to pay for your and my sins, and his blood was poured out as an offering to cleanse us and purify us. So when we eat the bread, we remember what Christ did for us, and when we drink the juice, we remember that we're cleansed and saved. And here's what I want you guys to do. As you leave in the back, there's a big box of all of these. Some of you guys need to take seven of these. And you need to do the Lord's Supper each and every day this week. That you need to stop and start your day with God. It is a new chapter. Scripture says, behold, it is a new day. This is the day the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. Yesterday is gone. Praise God.
Amen.
Okay? Scripture also tells me that today is with all new mercies. And God has me for today. So as you leave in the box, you may need to take seven. Listen to me. Do not take seven for your spouse. Don't you decide that you're going to shame them and go, oh, you need eight for this week. Take care of yourself. Amen? Okay? So they're in the back. Go ahead and take them. You can take the Lord's Supper on your own in the morning, afternoon, evening, whenever. You may realize that you may do seven of the Lord's Suppers in one day because you keep needing that new chapter. Come by, we'll give you more. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Amen. All right, I love you guys. I look forward to jumping through this series together as we allow God to tell us his story in ours. Amen? God bless you guys. Have a wonderful Sunday. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May his face shine upon you. And I pray a blessing over Jennifer, who had courage to get up here and share. And if you would like a book, I would love to give it to you, all right? God bless you guys. Have a wonderful Sunday.
I don't have